and has that sort of, like, you know, juvenileness to it. But it, like,
it's almost like, you know, after a football game or a sports game, they dump the Gatorade on the coach.
Right.
That's what bukkake is to the Japanese. It's like, oh, you do a good job having sex with men. Here's a jizz.
Except that if we were to complete that metaphor, it wouldn't be a thing of Gatorade. It'd be like a suicide or something with a bunch of different stuff mixed in together because it's, you know, it's lots of man sauce.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up.
Oh, we've been recording.
Of course. Yeah. All right. Welcome to three
way to stick with form.
Pieces.
Oh, wait. Oh. No, I need to have my thing out so I can take notes.
Oh,
because,
no, you put that thing away.
Oh, God, Beezer. Oh, man.
No, I take notes on my dick. It's cool.
Okay. Welcome to Three Easy Pieces. I'm Matt Black.
That way I keep the notes short. Oh, to the point.
Is the madman, Mr. Beezer. That was your name. Fuck, I almost lost it.
Nice one.
You
just get better and better at this job, Matt.
Yeah, I know.
You get better and better.
Oh, there you go. And then with me, as always, is very verbal, very creepy Roger VCR himself. How you doing?
Who is sick today.
And being a little bitch.
He is a trooper, though.
Yeah.
Here he is. He's trooping it up. Hey, what number are we? What is this, 17? What are we on?
Million.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to get your fancy pen out to use.
Well, I've discovered that I'm a lot more effective at putting these things up online if I actually remember what the hell they're about and I don't have to like re-listen to them because God knows I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I know.
Fast forward to me listening to this later going, you're such an idiot.
Yeah, why would you say that about
you? You just sound like a stupid, pretentious bastard.
Anywho, what is it? I guess I'll start with my piece.
Please, Matt.
Yeah. What is it? Recently, Rat Theater, that's Rat Theater, just did a performance. And what is it? Of course, as always, you know, there is those little hiccups that happen during a show. And if you do a show, you should be used to them happening.
Yeah.
And be prepared.
It's live
for
theater,
it.
Man.
But one of the things I want to talk about is actors. You know what I mean? And with my acting troupe here, not mine, it's ours. You know, it's Rat. We all participate in stuff.
Right,
we
very communist.
We all write. We all. What is it? Is how dedicated these guys are when it comes to their time. Like, you know, we've been doing this 14 years. We've gone.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, 14 fucking years. That's 14 years of my life doing dick jokes.
That's almost half your life.
My
man.
Mom is so proud of me. Anyway. But it never ceases to amaze me how actors, that, especially theater actors, because, you know, I've heard, you know, real actors say stuff before about, you know, the have to do it. But these people have more than a have to and a need to do it because literally they are giving me their free time, some time that they can't even, like, give up. You know what I mean? Like, hey, you know, if I'm going to do this rehearsal, I will only get, like, 3-4 hours of sleep and then I got school. And then I have work and then, you know, all this stuff. And it's always amazing to me. It takes a really special type of breed to do this dance we call community theater.
So how long are you going to jerk these guys off for? Dude. Like, is it just, can you give me like a projection? How
no,
much longer
man,
is this
I'm
gonna
just,
go?
What is it? I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. That
no,
just
no, no.
Answer.
I what is yeah. very charged from the last show, but again, it's still one of those things. I don't even. There's no real counterpoint to it, but it's always...
No, you know, and that's the thing. You make a great point, and that is that, you know, obviously, on the one hand, anybody who does community theater, you know, they do it because they enjoy it and they love it, and you know, they get a charge at a performing, so it's a passion. But, yeah, I mean, people don't understand the amount of ridiculous amount of work that goes into putting up a show. It is a full-time job leading up to the show. I mean, you commit a lot of your time, a lot of your resources, your brain. I mean, everything goes into it. Mm-hmm. And the people who do it, they, you know, we don't get compensated. The only thing we get compensated is in the adoration of our limited number of fans.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing, man. I'm wondering, you know, and it's so crazy to me because I'm like, these guys put so much dedication into it. You think, I don't know, we'd be further in life or something like that. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
okay, so
so much time to
right.
this.
But I mean, that's the thing is, like, I think if you're somebody who performs locally, you know, I mean, obviously, maybe in the back of your head, you're thinking, okay, this would be great if I, you know, if I were a, you know, household name, hit it big, et cetera, et cetera. But like,
it'd be better.
But, you know, I mean, the fact is that you shouldn't be, you know, putting a yardstick against your life saying, oh, yeah.
Or your penis. Never put a yardstick next to your penis.
I mean, you keep a separate yardstick for your penis. I mean, there's the yardstick for the yard, and then there's the penis stick. No, that's what I call mine.
I'm just saying, you know, it makes you feel really tiny. I mean, you get a 12-inch ruler, you feel huge.
Oh, yeah, that works way better with the metaphor. Yeah, thank you.
Anyway.
Or, like, maybe one of those fish measuring things, or like if you're gonna measure a fish before I've never done it myself, but I've seen it in cartoons.
Have you ever seen like rulers were 12 inches forever, and then they started coming out with these 18 inch rulers like in grade school, and it's just
you think that's a penis thing?
No, why did we have the 12-inch ruler forever, and then all of a sudden we needed an 18?
Got to be a foot and a half.
The dude, the black guys were like, I don't understand. It's not, this ruler isn't big enough, and I'm just like, fuck.
I guess.
I don't even feel
like ever seen a small, a black guy with a small penis? Like, have you ever seen him and like, wow, you get all the racial persecution,
you know,
and the benefits
at least once a week? I mean, yeah. I don't. I mean, when I'm not trying, like
the
when I'm trying, it's like four or five times a week.
I was in the Navy. You see a lot of dudes' cocks when you're taking showers.
There you go. Hello.
It's on the brochure.
It's on the brochure.
It's a feature. All right. You sign up for the dicks.
So not to cut back, but what is it? You used to act.
You
performed with, you were one of the members of Rat.
At one
but
point, yeah.
Before, I mean, I remember seeing you in all sorts of stuff.
Drop of the hat.
What is it? My question is, do you miss it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, this, in a way, doing the podcast is an outlet. I did, you know, improv too, and I mean, just all kinds of performances, and obviously did it for my college career, and... you know, when I think about my acting days, no, but I mean, yeah, it defines you as a person. And once you start doing it, I think you, much like anything else, you like sort of perceive the world through the lens of what you do as a performer, as an actor. And you really look at different things. I mean, I think the whole pursuit of theater and performance for me changed me fundamentally as a person, because you really have to start to adapt the ability to see from other people's point of view. And I think more than anything else, that sort of has left an indelible mark upon me. But man, getting applause gives you such a pride boner. I mean, you are the best. Oh yeah, that's what you live for.
Dude, laughter is probably the most.
I mean, it's either
fucking thing,
you know, murdering people you've never met before, or getting that applause. Am I right, Roger? Right?
I don't.
Anonymous really. Murder, huh? Yeah. Applause.
Oh yeah. Well, no. Well,
you perform.
I perform, but that's not what I get a kick out of. I like to write more than anything.
Create.
I do love writing. Writing is probably the funnest part of the whole process. Before we start the arguing and the, what is it, not movement, blocking and all that shit.
Right, right.
Yeah, but,
well, yeah, the actual nuts and bolts of it. My wife, who also performs, we actually met doing the whole acty thing. She is one of those people who loves the process leading up to performance more than the actual performance.
That's so weird.
But she, like, she has like a streak of perfectionism in her, and she loves this idea of sort of that sharpening, you know, the edge. And like, you start with a very raw material, and, you know, to belabor this metaphor even more, you know, just you sort of rough that diamond, you know, into shape or whatever. And I'm not, you know.
Yeah, I'm kind of like,
that's
this
why
is how I'm going to do it.
Improv's great, because, you know, it's sort of, you rely on a different muscle for that, I think, and I enjoy that more.
You see, what is it? With the writing process, it's awesome, because it's like, anything's possible at this point. Mm-hmm. So like, okay, well, so since anything's possible, I'm going to dab a little bit over here. I'm going to take two psychopath killers, and I'm going to make it a Christmas scene, and these killers are going to do this, and this is why, you know, and it's just like, yeah, so you start pulling all this, these little things from the air, and then you just have to, like, kind of write the journey, like, all
right,
where, how are we going to get to the X?
Yeah.
And that's the fun part,
yeah,
that, you know, doing all that, you know, silly, like, okay, da, da, da. And then getting to watch my, my peers actually read them and laugh.
Right.
It's the best charge ever.
Right. Well, and then I think the extra step, especially, you know, writing is fantastic, but what I loved about theater is that next step of seeing what the different person or people that you work with will do with that particular line, or the like, the sort of the choices they make and the character they build. And you know, that's, I think, because we all have like tricks. We all have things that we fall back on. And when you sort of see those things, or when you sort of like get used to that, especially your own tricks, you know, it sort of takes the magic out of it for you. But like when you work with other people and they surprise you, or they make a choice you wouldn't have done yourself.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I mean, that's another little bit of the magic.
What was it? There's a scene in this one where I'm literally Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it? Roger was formerly Michael Myers.
Jason Sudeikis?
No, Jason Voorhees.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And at one point, you know, the whole rehearsal process, me and him were fucking stoned.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. Mm-hmm. Just because that's the way I wrote it. Like, they don't move. Mm-hmm. They have very little reaction. And at one point, one of the actors said, "You can use me as your cumbrella." And I died, and I actually watched a video of me like sitting there and just like slowly breaking, and then like just straight out laughter. It was pretty bad, but it was awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's segue.
So was there a nugget of something that you were trying to address with the whole actors? Or are you just saying like actors, man, you gotta love them? Or,
well, no. Well, it's, I'm always impressed with, especially once the adrenaline's on, mm-hmm. what they come up with. And by that laughter, what I was talking about was like she surprised the shit out of me with
right.
it. And of course, I wasn't expecting it. And they love, I mean, those guys love to make me break. It's kind of mm-hmm. the game they play, because like I break all the time.
Right.
So they intentionally do stupid shit or add
lines.
Yeah,
he does.
Yeah. Thank you.
I remember I was playing that cholo and I came out with that hairnet and I got mad for some reason.
No, because you didn't wear it. You didn't wear it before, and it was one of those things where me and Jesse are supposed to pantomime talking, and we were doing the hum, 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 but I'm looking over at him, and I was just like, "What the fuck is on his head?" Oh,
that was awesome.
Yeah. Or there's, you would, even Jesse will sometimes give me that like part smile, like, so I'm like, start like, shut up, you know, stop it. There was this one time where Rock and I, what was it? I was supposed to kiss him on the cheek. Mm-hmm. Like, we were like, okay, honey, my, you know what I mean? It's some weird scene. And every night, because he would just stick his cheek out, dude, even rehearsal, I would laugh my ass off. And I could never get through it.
That and his whiskers tickled your lips.
Oh.
Yeah, they tickled you, too.
But then you missed the tickle.
Yeah, then I missed the tickle. Aww. So, that being said, and my now sexuality being in question, you know, let's move on.
No, you know, I want to one more thing. I'm sorry. I don't know if you guys seen it. It was sort of like, when I was in college, it was like a movie that was out at the time. And since I was in theater, it sort of spoke to me. But that Shakespeare in Love movie.
Yes.
There's a line in it that Jeffrey Rush's character, you know, he sort of echoes throughout the whole movie about, like, you know, and they're constantly asking him, well, how's this going to happen? How's this going to happen? Or is this going to happen? Or is it going to get done? Or, you know, the question always is like whether the production is actually going to happen or if it's going to fail or whatever. And, you know, he's always like, it's going to happen. Well, how? It's a mystery, you know, and that's also what's, you know, that's what you said about, like, you know, when a show's on, it's on. You know, the show, like the old cliche, the show must go on. And
it's,
you know,
true.
You just get through it. And
everybody
knows
it's showtime, man. Like, we're going.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're off the cliff.
Right. Good or bad.
I mean?
Yeah. You're committed.
So we're either cutting this thing or doing this. Like, one day we had one of our actors who shall remain nameless.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? She got plastered before the show. Which has happened before,
right?
You know, included.
You mean is the sort of the regular thing? Right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, dude, when we first started doing this, dude, I would watch videos of me where I was just like, I'm so drunk. You know what? Fuck this scene. I'm just gonna moon everybody for like 5 minutes. You know what I mean? And so
those were the rough days.
We had to, like, dude, right there, probably an hour before the show, it was like, okay, we got to cut this. You were gonna be this part now. Start memorizing those lines. We're going to have to cut this scene, and we're going to have to cut this joke out of this part. And, dude, it was amazing. And everybody, you just saw everybody pull together so quickly and without even, you know, not even a, how am I going to memorize those lines?
Right.
No, it was straight out like, okay, you know, I remember that. I know the scene well enough to where at least I can get the gist of it. I'll go over it right now. You know what I mean? And they snapped too. You know what I mean? There was no yelling.
Yeah.
It was just like, hey, guys, this is what's going on. And they were like, okay.
Yeah.
It really
is a great thing. And like, if I don't know if everybody can experience the process of doing a show or being involved in theater or, you know, whatever, But like that whole creative process is really something everybody should experience.
Oh, dude, it is absolutely amazing. You know, especially, you know, when we don't have a certain prop or something like that, I'll have, they're like, oh, you know, on my lunch break, I'll just go to this one place and I can pick something up.
Right.
And you could just pay me back for it. And it's just like,
it's like the
great
Stone Soup fable.
Yeah. Which, ironically,
it was the theater at some point was named that. Yeah.
That Filipino restaurant that's next to the theater used to be Stone Soup.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that like a Filipino delicacy?
Yes.
Okay. Fantastic.
No, I'm just saying that used to be the Stone Soup Theater. And
right.
That was a church.
Those flips, they love their stones.
Yeah. Yes, they do. As Roger slowly dies.
I'm just trying. Every time I have to talk, I have to clear my throat or I get that weird, like, I'm going to narrate Sin City the movie.
Dude, no, it's sexy, man. Don't ever forget it. So,
hot.
So anyway, Roger, let's go to your topic because you were so.
What was Beezer's topic?
Oh, we haven't done it yet.
Yeah,
man.
We done
welcome
it.
Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast. We're doing yours.
What? Ah, oh, man.
You
I
didn't even come up with one. You fucking piece
I was
of shit.
I'm sick. And that's my topic. Come is being sick.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it, bitch.
Well,
switch, bitch.
I get one day a year where I get sick and I can't go to work, and the rest of the year I'm fine. I mean, I
so it's this always this. Is it this the same time every year?
What's that? No, it's this just like it'll be one random thing. It'll be one thing like I think last year I had a stomach thing,
mm-hmm.
And then this year I have like this like stomach thing. It's usually a stomach thing.
It's kind of funny because you look like you're in pain. Like
Well, yeah, and I hadn't eaten since yesterday. So like that was like the first food I had. And I thought I could keep down, so that was just like, okay, that's what I needed to do was sleep.
Yeah.
So I got my rest, and I just woke up out of my coma because I went to bed at 8 in the morning. I got up, went back to bed, and then I woke up at like literally like 10 minutes till 9, and then Matt gets here, and I'm like, oh, yeah, podcast. Yeah, so that was good.
Okay, so you just heard Roger slowly dying.
Yeah.
So what about sickness did you want to talk about? How much it sucks?
Well, I'm just, how does everyone else respond to being sick? I mean, I'm usually good, but if it's something with my stomach, I'm done.
I try to push through.
Yeah, I can push through a cold, I can push through the flu, but if I've got a stomach thing, I'm done.
I whine like a fucking baby.
That does not surprise
like,
me.
Like, I hit my head today, and my wife, who has headaches fairly regularly, migraines even, and I've had
no
like maybe
sympathy.
No. She had total sympathy, and I'm like going on. It's like, you know, a scene from a movie or, you know, scene from a bad sitcom where I'm like, you just don't understand, baby. Like, my head hurts so much. I'm feeling nauseous. My eyes are sensitive to light. And she's like, I fucking know, but it does hurt. You're right. I'm glad you can understand, but fuck you.
Yeah.
No, but like, okay, so like my response to, I think it's pretty much the same as yours, Roger, where I just sort of like, I just shut down and it's like, okay, it's sleepy time. Let the body
do
its work.
I try to get as many other people sick around me as humanly
possible. You know, I understand that.
I'm
understand
like,
that motivation.
Hey,
you just want to tear it the fuck down.
I just want to see.
You're like the Joker.
Burn it all.
You're like, yeah.
Like to see the world burn around you.
Right.
Well, not even really burn, just get sick. And like, I want you to
Some
suffer.
Some men, Master Bruce, just want to see the world.
Oh, get incredibly sick. Sorry, that was not a very good Michael Caine.
Mine wasn't either, but you
Michael
Caine, it was an
talks
honor.
Like this when he wants to whisper.
Well, I love the meme about like to say Michael Caine saying his voice is when you just say the word my cocaine. That's how he says.
Oh,
it.
Oh, there you go.
Did anyone see the Dana Carvey special where he does Michael Caine as a 5-year-old boy?
No,
it's so awesome. He's like, why do we have to keep these colors in the drawings or in the lines? And he's just like, it was fucking hilarious. He still has it. He
you
still
know,
has it.
At the same time, I feel like impersonations is like the lowest form of humor, but at the same, but
it's
I can't help but like laugh and love it. I don't know. I mean, it's
I
just
love
like,
impersonations.
I do,
good.
But it's the same thing. It's like, I feel a little cringy. Like, unless it's something like really novel, I'm like, oh, like, you know, the Nicholson impersonation or any impersonation that I do. You know, it's just.
You do one impersonation. It's a German doctor. That's the only
I've
impersonation.
Sworn off the German doctor.
No,
it's
sometimes they're
German.
From Austria.
That's
sometimes
true.
They're from Oslo,
Lorraine. They're from the Ottoman Empire.
Okay,
you know, like,
well.
You know. Or even what's a really small country? The it's like the size of a valley.
Lithuania?
No. Not Brussels.
I was gonna say Brussels.
It's like a really funny name.
Jordan.
Yeah.
Liechtenstein.
Liechtenstein.
Yeah.
Liechtenstein. That's right.
Yeah.
It's like the author. Liechtenstein. I don't know. And
is that R.L. Liechtenstein? Or is that what the L is in R.L. Stein? It's Robert Liechtenstein. There you go. I got
there
it.
You go. There you go.
Interesting.
Dropping some knowledge up on top of you. Better get an umbrella, baby, because it's coming down fast. All right.
So, but back to sickness.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like getting sick, but I feel, and I say this to my wife often, that, like, I'm invincible, you know, and obviously it's not true, and I'm sure I'm setting myself up for a big karma title. But, you know, I feel like that because I don't get sick all that often, and when I do, I recover fairly fast, and man, I'm really just talking myself into a hole here. Yeah. I know it's going to happen now.
Dude, I think because of my smoking, I get sick. It's not really bad, mm-hmm. but it's
you think
longer.
The like lung cancer weeks. Fights it off. Yeah, like the emphysema actually, it's like in Constantine where, you know,
yeah.
the devil yeah. already owns your soul. So like it's not, you know, you can't, cancer so, already owns your lungs. So no, nothing else can take hold.
You're the only soul I'd come and collect myself. I love that movie, even though
it's a great movie.
You know, I what is it? I always thought Keanu Reeves was such a douche.
Yeah,
like because he's just like whoa, and all this shit, and then you find out that he's dude. They had these like, you know, he always looks sad in parks and stuff like that. And then some guy asked, you know, and they had all these memes on it for a while. They were big jokes.
Yeah.
And then they were hilarious to me. You know
oh,
I mean?
Yeah. I love the Keanu, sad Keanu.
Yeah. And then somebody finally went up and was like, hey, man, why are you so sad? He goes, well, I don't know. I guess it's because my best friend died, my mom died, my sister died, and my wife died. And just like, and then the next video is him like getting up to let somebody sit down because at his Subway because he takes the Subway home.
Right.
And you're just like, he's just such an all around good guy. Someone hurt you.
Well, okay.
Someone.
I don't want to like make it even worse for you, but you know, like he took a lot of his profits from the Matrix movies and gave it to the crew, right?
No, I knew he got he bought all the stuntman motorcycles.
Well,
shit.
He like spreads around. Like he doesn't. I don't think he really keeps a lot of his wealth for himself. I think he does a lot of. I mean,
sure,
if not philanthropic.
I'm sure he keeps a good amount of it, though.
Well, I mean, come on. You got to keep a little bit of the sauce.
He does like motorcycles, though, I'm told.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
I'm told by who? Frank
Tom
Cruise.
Why are you so goddamn nosy, Matt?
I'm just, you said you were told. And I just want to see if it was a crazy old lady, you know, at a bus stop who told me, Keanu Reeves, he's really into them motorcycles. Pass it along. And she was just like, yes, you know.
And then she, you know, then runs into a diatribe about how squirrels are conspiring against her. Hey, squirrels.
And their little tiny motorcycles.
They like motorcycles too.
So I clicked this link on this YouTube channel and it's supposed to be the hottest teachers, but three of them were guys and two of them I wouldn't bang with Beezer's dick and Matt Pumping.
I like that. That's enough. A good saying.
That's a nice little saying.
That's one of
just came up my
sayings.
There.
Are they hot guys at least?
No, I'm talking about two of the girls that weren't hot. But the guys.
We were just figuring guys because it's you.
Yeah, but the guys weren't hot either. I'm sorry. I'm just sitting here watching YouTube videos, by the way.
You porn, right?
Yeah.
No.
You just woke up, honey. Don't worry.
It's
about
okay.
It. You
it's
relax.
It's okay. You're fine.
Hey, you take the day off, man.
You know what? Have you tried some emergency? I mean,
it's a little late for that.
All right. I'll stop watching YouTube videos and actually talk.
Go to porn.
It's good. Go to porn.
Narrate the porn. Can you do a Howard Cosell narration of you know, the porn?
No, I don't think I could do a Howard Cosell if I was sober.
Maybe a Harry Carey or you?
Maybe a Harry Potter.
Adele.
A Harry Potter.
She's stroking him off. Yeah. Get it, girl. That's good.
We're going for the money shot. There it is. It came early.
Oh, there it is.
Daddy issues.
That's the money. All over.
That's the money shot.
There it is. Cops went.
My Harry Carey turned into what's his name?
Will Ferrell?
No, the guy from fucking Bewitched, Uncle Arthur.
Oh, I love him. Wasn't he in Hollywood Squares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
Oh, well, hey, how's it going there?
Yeah,
boys?
Yeah. The uncle
the
or whatever.
Yeah, Templeton the Rat.
Oh, Templeton the Rat, yeah.
No, I don't know.
Fuck that movie, man.
What's wrong with that fucking
that movie? That movie fucking scarred me as a child.
Of course.
Oh, by every time. And I watched it a lot because we had it on VH or Beta.
Look at him now. Zuckerman's famous.
You guys had Beta?
You did too, yeah.
Oh, well, I watched it a lot.
We landed on Beta.
We
had hundreds of dubs.
Dude, but I grew up in a time when there was no computers.
Mm-hmm.
Same as you.
Yeah.
So
pretty
it
much
was
same,
pretty
same
much
time.
Like
yeah.
Eight channels.
Yeah. Yeah.
We all grew up around
and,
the same
and if
time,
you had right? cable, the box, actually you had to get up and the channels would click.
Yeah.
Like click, click.
I actually had
click.
A, I had yeah. a knobby one.
You had a knobby one?
Yeah, dude, for a long time.
You got to have that look at. You really should.
Yeah. I don't want the doctor to laugh. So.
I'm talking about his dick.
Are you talking about
his dick?
Are you talking about that wood
My
panel
penis.
Cable box that they used to
yeah,
have?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was like wood panel. It had like 1 through 99, and you just slide the thing back and forth.
I didn't have the slide. It was actually maybe we did have the slide at one point. But yeah. I remember there was one that had like just like radio buttons. Where, you know, it was
yeah.
like click, click, click.
Yeah,
click,
I remember
click.
That one.
God, and I remember the same like the bullshit connector for the Ataris that was like it went from the little screw connect cable to the little two little prongs that you would connect to the two nuts on the back of the TV. It had like a slider switch on it to switch from. TV to
yeah, as an RF switch.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah, I know.
Dude. I feel old. Thank you for bringing that up.
It's not even, dude. It's not even old. Look, I'm always just amazed how quickly, you know, technology like caught up with us. Well, I mean, not even quickly. I guess it took 30. That's 30 years.
Well, no, but I mean, it has moved at a rapid pace, especially in the last decade
Jim,
and a half.
Can you imagine how it must be like for someone? I mean, we're like marveling at the shit we saw from the 80s to now, but can you imagine the people that were born like.
Oh, like baby boomers?
Yeah, they're holy shit.
Dude, like, I
what's going on?
I helped.
They just transistorized the radios and then fuck.
You know, and I think that, it's really interesting to see because I work with people older than myself and I work of that, you know, baby boom generation, and there are some. And there's a whole spectrum. There's those who completely embrace it and get it and like pursue it. Like my wife's her great grandmother is like so fucking tech savvy. It's crazy. And she's like 80 something. And it fucking blows my mind. Maybe almost 90. Shit.
She's like, I gotta play my slots.
No, dude. She's like heavy into the heritage.com, the ancestry tracking site. Like but like, I mean, she like does like deep web dive searches, like fucking searches like public records. And she loves the fucking internet, which if we're ready, are we ready? Uh-huh. Are we ready to go to me? Are we still
sure,
on sick?
Yeah.
All right. I want to talk about information and how it wants to be free. All right.
Oh,
that was a theme in a book I read recently. And when I by read, I mean audiobook because I'm too
readings
busy
for suckers.
readings for people with time. But anyway, it was a science fiction book. And one of the major things in it was the freedom of information. Information wants to flow freely. And in my youthier youth, I was a mega pirate. Like, I didn't pay for fucking shit. I was heavy into the first one? Napster, when it came out. Like, that fucking blew my mind. And then, like, from then on, it was like,
you spend days ripping.
Torrenting, ripping, every fucking way you could do it.
What is Napster now? Every once in a while, you hear something about Napster, and they're like, we're a hair salon now.
I have no idea. I have no idea. But I did. Didn't recently Napster partner with either Lars Ulrich or Metallica to release some fucking album, like, in the recent, like, year ago?
Yeah, and I heard their last
and
album
I was like,
sucked.
Well, every album, including and after Justice for All, sucked. Maybe Justice for All was okay, but they sucked after that.
Right.
Personal opinion.
Dude, actually, just watching their documentary.
Oh, which one? Some Kind of Monster?
I didn't
where they went to like therapy and all that. That was a good. I enjoyed it.
Dude, no. It was just like, you know, you guys are supposed to be badasses.
Yeah, and they're all like a bunch of whiny bitches.
Like, handle your shit. Fucking
no,
punch
but
each
they
other
were,
in the face and get it over
yeah,
with.
But I mean, didn't they have suffer some from some of the like dynamics that most like creative groups do from time to time? I mean, I think that theirs are a little more magnified, but I mean, if you've ever tried to work with somebody, you know, I mean,
that's
personal.
Why you take a break, yeah. Come back, and you're like, oh yeah, this is why I hate this guy, and you fucking work around it. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, they did, and that's why they take so long to fucking release albums. That
and
they're too busy fucking swimming through
Lars, and dude, not that I ever had any love for Lars.
Right.
you know, I was always, man, that's a lot of drums. That's really cool, you know, as a kid. But then when you hear him talk, he is such a whiny little bitch.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and he's like the leader. Somehow I'm like, the drum guy's the leader?
I think because he's the bitchiest. I think he's just the strongest personality.
Hey, man, I saw my buddy.
But he's a fucking great drummer, too.
Yeah, could give a shit now.
Yeah. Like, no, I can't now. But I mean, in his heyday, I mean, he's no Geddy Lee. I mean, the fact is that, you know, there are musicians, and then there's like amazing musicians like that of Rush and fantastic people. I mean, you want to talk about like, you know, sad stories, you know, Neil Peart, the drummer from Rush, who's like fucking family, like his wife and his daughter were both died within the same year.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know. And like, he still is the best fucking drummer in the world.
Wow. In the world.
In the world.
That's awesome. Vision.
Well, maybe not the world, but he's good.
There you go.
And he's okay.
So those Chinese drummers are pretty crazy.
That's true.
So what's
they work really hard.
What's with this information being free?
So, okay. It's like water. Maybe back when, like, when we didn't have the ability, aka the internet, to like disperse information, because all it is just, you know, just ones and zeros, really. And we had to actually have physical copies. Somebody had to, like, talking about the fucking Betamax. You know, when I was a kid, my dad bought 2 Betamaxes, and that's because he could rent the video and then dub it to the other one. Now, that obviously was still piracy, but, you know, was he really stealing anything? I mean, did he take anything? He just made a copy. He bought a tape to copy it on. He bought a machine to copy it. Nothing actually was lost. He created something, right? He created a copy of it. And now we're in this place where you could freely create copies of anything that you could digitize. And I understand that it threatens the sort of economic standing, you know,
just realized I could make multiple copies of my penis now.
You could.
Wow.
You could back that shit up into
back
your
it up. I have made multiple
drive.
Copies. I have made multiple copies of my penis and sent them to people on the internet. That's amazing.
Yeah.
See,
yeah,
if you just
wait. You started saying conditionally could, and past tense as if you had actually done these things.
Oh, yeah. I'm not judging you.
I've just sent my
penis to
right.
You know it's VCR, right?
Yeah, I know.
VCR. V verbal?
Well, it's just
he's
verbal, but
creepy.
Now
he's creepy.
He's digital, so he's like a VDCR or DVCR.
Yeah, give him that VD.
He's killing it, dude. So anyway, nowadays, I'm not a huge pirate. I mean, really, it's out of convenience now. Like, if I can't watch like the latest,
you're the lamest pirate ever.
I am.
You don't have an accent.
I pay for me games, and I don't make no one walk the plank. No, I pay for my games. I pay for Netflix, and I pay for streaming music. So, I mean, but again, I'm paying for a service. I'm not paying for the, you know, per chunk data. And again, I'm using
like
it as
a blowjob.
Right, exactly. It's I'm paying each time for the blowjob. I've got like a hooker I keep on retainer.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a difference. And I get all the blowjobs I want.
Did you just call Netflix a hooker?
Yeah. No. Well, I mean,
that's
it. No. Netflix is more of a concubine because you keep Netflix in your house.
Hulu's the hooker.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, well, not if you pay for the Hulu without the ads. And then
yeah,
it's
I do like
the
Hulu
thing.
Without the ads. Have you seen that new show on Hulu, the Eye Shut?
I have the Shut Eye with Jeffrey Donovan.
Shut-Eye.
I love him. I haven't watched it yet.
It's good. It's the guy, he runs scams as a psychic for gypsies.
Mm-hmm.
And he pisses off the gypsies, and then he also becomes a real psychic.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
But does it have Bruce Campbell?
No.
Oh.
Why would it have Bruce Campbell?
Because he was in the USA show with him.
Fucking Burn.
Burn Notice.
Yeah, Burn Notice.
Dude, I liked that show.
That show was fantastic.
It's really cheesy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I really got tired of like, if you want to be a spy, here's how you do it. You have to do this and this. And it's just like, okay.
But that was, you know, that was the formula that worked there.
Yeah.
I dug it. But see,
so what was that show about the group of con men? Was
which
it,
one?
Oh, it was I don't know. It was shit.
Was it the one with the Christian Slater one? There was one for like one season. There's been.
Oh my god, my worst enemy. That was horrible. It was
there's another one too.
No, there's this. It was like five con men. It was a like a chick and some dudes.
Leverage.
Leverage.
Yeah. That's
that
a good show.
That's a horrible fucking show. That is a horrible fucking show.
It's a procedural, just like any other procedural.
Oh, speaking of which, I actually started watching The 100, and if you get
The 100.
The 100. What's
is
that?
It just,
whatever.
The 100?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just
that
clarifying.
Stupid show that you
no,
wanted
no,
to
No, you said The 100, and I just
100.
Wanted to clarify. It's like the 100 party over, it's out of time. Gotcha,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, is that where those people come back to life?
No, no, no. They come from, they shoot 100 people down from an orbital that people were
space
confined station. To because the Earth became unlivable, and they shoot 100
dude.
Down to, right?
Yeah. It's, dude, you were talking all about it. Man, you should watch it.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it, yeah.
No, I just watched, I watched it.
Yeah.
First season was a little teeny
yeah.
poppery.
Right.
But if you can get through that, it gets better.
Yeah, the first season's kind of Hunger Games-y.
Yeah, it was a little lame. But then that second season's pretty awesome.
They're like young kids, right?
Right. Well, it starts out like that.
It starts out like that.
But
it
I mean,
goes,
the adults are stay in space,
deep.
But then shit happens.
It's awesome, dude. It's actually, if you're into sci-fi, check it out.
Dude, I love sci-fi.
Has anyone seen that show where like a bunch of people come back to life? It was kind of like the...
Which one again? The Return, the Glitch.
Glitch is the one I'm talking about. There was
Netflix?
That one, that what was it, the 440 or something like that? Or
The 4400? That was a great show.
I started watching that, and then I moved, and then it was before like Netflix and Hulu were really a thing, and I just never watched it.
You should go back. It was a really, really a good one.
Did they end it, though?
Yeah, I mean, they did in the way that, like, in this day and age where they do things, where it's like, hey, you got two shows left, you're canceled, and they're like, oh, shit, fucking, let's get a...
this is what happened.
Let's end it.
It was mosquitoes.
Right. It's like Enterprise, the way they fucking ended Enterprise, which,
no.
I mean, I love that. It's horrible. Like, you know what? Nobody really liked these characters. Let's bring back Deanna and Riker. We'll fix this.
Oh, I know. And they're like, why that dynamic?
I think they're trying to double down on saying, hey... We don't care what you fucking think. This is canon. This shit is canon. Did you hear me? Fucking canon.
Dude, it was a good show. They had, I mean, it had its whatever, but I thought it was cool.
The Vulcan with the boobs, I like.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah. Vulcan high hairline, though. Kind of weird.
They were trying to just make another 7 of 9, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Give her big boobs, guys.
Well, don't forget, and not to get my nerd on here, but don't forget the whole Punfar shit. They mean, they played with that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they did. Well, and they made...
Like, multiple times. It was like, oh, she's so horny right now.
Right.
Like, and she wants to have... You know, it was just like, Jesus Christ.
They played it up, too, with the communication specialist, the Asian chick.
Oh,
Hoshi.
Yeah.
They made her a hoe.
She a hoe. They just, see, they did
so
it right.
So they were trying to,
they did. It was very simple.
It was, like, hilarious, because they were trying to, like, all right, we got to make
they
a little.
They had to sex it up.
Yeah, they were like, we got to add a little sex to this so the kids will like it. You know, it was just like,
do you remember before, though, 7 and 9 wasn't the sexy one? It was the Ocampa chick, and then for a while it was.
I don't know if it was, like, a sexy
one. Were trying, and then for a while it was Taurus, and she had to get kind of sexy time.
Yeah,
but no one wanted to see a Klingon getting sexy, so they're like,
no.
Well,
but they did a thing too where she had like Klingon sex with somebody, didn't she? Early on,
she's like Paris or something, right?
Well, yeah, I think that's what it was.
I didn't like that
Voyager.
I sat through all of it, but like, well, no, right when 7 and 9 came on, like the last 5 seasons were like,
boom,
everything is going to be about. Borg and 7 of 9.
And again, they found something that people were interested in. They
boobs,
were interested
guys,
in the Borg.
Boobs.
And,
you mean Borgs.
Yes. Borgs. Boobs. I don't know why. I mean, that
figure
the whole
out.
Idea of the Borg seemed to be very...
Borging?
Well, no. I think that the idea of being swallowed by a collective consciousness has a certain kind of existential terror that it really taps into. I mean, at least for me. I mean, that for me, when the whole idea of the Borg is scary because, like, you know...
Yeah, but it's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Right, exactly.
Else.
And that's, you know, Invasion of the Body Snatchers is very similar. And that's a scary as shit movie. Well, I remember it being scary as shit. I don't know if it is now, but...
Dude, the one with...
The 80s version?
Yeah,
the 80s
version.
Is that the
version,
one with... Which one's that?
That's the one with...
Donald Sutherland?
Yeah, Donald Sutherland.
That's the one I grew up on.
That one was fucking weird. Especially when that dog walked up with the fucking human face.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What
no,
the
that,
fuck is that about?
That movie fucked me up, man. That and Reanimator.
Oh, yeah.
Both of those movies fucked me up. Saw those at a certain time. And just
I'll
like,
go back and watch Reanimator. It's not as scary.
No, it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's like...
And that dude is
the head and
is
stuff.
So good. Who was in all those episodes of DS9. He played like 8 different characters. What's his name? Jeffrey Combs?
Oh, yeah,
love
the actor
him, man.
Plays the reanimator, right? Yeah, he's an interesting guy, huh? Never everything big, but he's always the reanimator, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's a reoccurring character.
I think so. The actual H.P. Lovecraft story is really entertaining.
All that racism.
Yeah. Yeah,
he was a racist for sure.
Big old racist.
The HP stood for hates people.
Yeah. No,
well, wouldn't it be like HBP then? Like hates brown people? Yeah. It just hates people in general.
Just pretty much.
Are you saying that brown people aren't people, Beezer? Racist. See, this guy always racist.
You exposed it. It was there in the kernel of me. I didn't. I only learned recently. Although I guess I should have guessed because he was quite an Anglophile, but I didn't know until recently that HP was such a racist.
I actually just learned that too from my cast because we were talking about Cthulhu as a joke.
Oh,
yeah.
And I was
first
like, "H.P. Lovecraft, right?" And then everybody's like, "He was a huge racist." Yeah, I was like,
"I didn't
oh,
know
wow.
that." Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
I also learned. So when you said cast, like for a split second, I thought you said I had just learned that from my cat. And I was like,
yeah,
wait a second. When did Matt have a mental break? This is fantastic.
No.
Does he talk to his cat now?
My cat hasn't talked to me for weeks, right? He's pretty
pissed. HP Lovecraft's a racist. Meow.
So, yeah, my cat was telling me that HP Lovecraft is a crazy racist. He's also telling me that I need to invest in fish.
Meow.
Dude, I would love to be that guy, dude, because I, you know, I, what is it? Because, you know, I've dealt with him because of what I do so many times.
Well,
just to be
somebody who's had like a complete break with reality,
break where, you know, where you're just like, all right,
maybe you're
relieved.
Maybe you are having a break with reality that we're not actually here. There's no podcast. Yeah. You're just talking to yourself.
Yeah.
He does this every other Thursday.
He's like he's like in the corner, like talking to what he believes is a microphone and just being profane every so often.
Dude, the other day, there's these two people, okay, and they're fucking insane. And one, they're both older people, and you could just tell by the way they were talking, you know, teeth are missing. So one of them's like, fuck you, Barbara. I bought you a fucking house. I bought you a fucking car. You said this was going to take 20 fucking minutes. And then her response, she was like, yo, fuck you, Larry. And then it was like, you know what? I'm get security over here. Get security over here because she just insulted me. She just insulted me. And then she said, don't call the security. I'm the vice president. It's okay. And that is not a fucking joke. That is verbatim. If I could have gotten my phone out and recorded that shit.
That is awesome.
It was the best part of my fucking day.
She was Pence.
Now that was actually round two. They were in there earlier.
Oh yeah.
So when I saw them the second time, I ran right over because I was like,
you
got to
record that shit. You got to be like world star and like fucking, you know.
Oh man. He was just like, yeah, I used to be a fucking husband, but she gave me the old boots, you know, fucking bitch. And I'm just like,
why are you taking your shopping then, dude?
Yeah, no kidding.
He was taking time off work, apparently.
Yeah, to even take the ex shopping. That's very considerate.
Yeah. So, and what my favorite part, of course, was, you're fucking crazy. No, you're fucking crazy. You need to be getting on your medication. You haven't taken your medication or whatever. And it was just like, yes.
This seems like a Kids in the Hall sketch almost. Like I could see Scott Thompson and Kevin McDonald yelling at each other like this.
Yeah, dude. The only, and dude, I know the
you're lead. The one who's crazy. You're the one who's crazy.
Dude,
you can't talk to me that way. I'm the vice president. Oh, I'm the president.
Well, I'm the president of presidents.
They, this lady, actually, I've seen her quite a bit, and she's always coming up to me. Hey, my husband beats me.
Good.
I don't know what to do with my life. And I'm just like, oh. did you want a cigarette? Because I don't know what you're talking to me about, like, or why you're talking.
That's fucking heavy to just unload on a stranger like that. Yeah. That's fucked up, man.
Dude, you know, it happened to me the other day, and, you know, I
this almost, is another time this happened to you?
No,
or is
no.
This like,
the other day, the situation came up at work, and I couldn't fucking believe it. I haven't really talked about it, so I don't mind talking about it here.
Lay it on us.
So I walk it up, and there's this lady, and she's got a baby in her hand. Mm-hmm. And one of the people that works there is like, you know, touching the baby. I made the joke of, hey, you better be careful. If she gets a chance, she's going to steal that baby. You know what I mean? As a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, no, she wouldn't want to steal this baby. And I was like, oh, I was just kidding. I'm sorry if I offended you. And she was like, no, she wouldn't want to steal it because it's dying. And I was just like, just like,
Is the baby now?
So, it's so warm right now. There's, I was just here to fix this thing.
So you either like have like a lot of really interesting people going through your work, or there's like a crazy flash mob thing happening.
No,
that
I
you're
think
just
subconsciously I just attract these people.
Really?
Yeah.
I believe it. I mean, we're here.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, I was just like, I
so you didn't like fall. There was no like probing
what
questions
fuck,
after
no,
that.
No, it wasn't like, oh, what's your, I don't want to fucking know. I was like, all I know was like, I need to figure out a way to get out of here. And if I had to like slam the door in my hand real quick, oh, there you go. I broke a finger.
Like coyote ugly sort of situation.
Yeah, just like, there we go. I guess I got to go.
You could have like just pulled out a ballpoint pen and jammed it into your like palm and be like, how did that happen?
Good luck.
I got to get a shot.
Anyway. Well, I'm sure this is as good as any place to stop.
We've
it.
Peaked.
We've
peaked.
Yeah, I think we have.
Yeah, there you go.
He's like, fuck this shit. I'm hitting stop. I'm not even waiting for the last word.
Last word.
Last word.
Last word, bitches.